welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 12th, 1998.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, or good morning as the case may be, in your time zone, wherever that is, from the Hawaiian and Asian island chains out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole. And worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello there, everybody. We're going to do open lines tonight. Now, we are going to have Peter Davenport with some late-breaking news about that incident over the state of Washington the other day. Oh, it's getting weird. And I would like to take this opportunity. No, I'm wrong. Let me do that next hour. I'll take that opportunity next hour. Right now, what I would like to do is read the first item of news and then announce something that's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour. A lawmaker has chastised U.S. intelligence agencies Tuesday for what one committee chairman called, quote, a colossal failure, end quote, in not warning about India's nuclear tests. A U.S. spy satellite picked up activity at India's test site last week, according to the Washington Post. Now, that's interesting. Clear-cut evidence by satellite of preparations were recorded at midnight on Sunday, 6 hours before the blasts. The U.S. analysts responsible for tracking India's nuclear program were all home asleep, one senior official said, speaking anonymously. They were all asleep. This reminds me of the probable kind of announcement they made after Pearl Harbor, huh? Well, at the time of the attack, you know, it was Sunday and people were in church and people were out of pocket and we couldn't get a hold of anybody and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like that, huh? Anyway, India let loose with a couple of very serious, actually three, I guess, nuclear detonations. And the shockwave of these detonations goes far beyond that measured on anybody's Richter scale meter. The first and most obvious problem is Pakistan, which itself may have a nuclear device, and we're waiting to see now how they will respond to that. Pakistan may feel obliged to launch a rocket to demonstrate the capability of delivery, or they may even detonate their own nuclear device. China certainly may feel forced to respond by testing a nuclear device. It's sort of a national level, hey, if you got one, we got one kind of deal. And if you don't do it, then you might be inviting disaster. And this whole thing may be inviting disaster. And oh, we all went to sleep and thought the nuclear problems were over, right? The Cold War was over and the wall came tumbling down and all of that. Surprise, surprise, here we are again. If a nuclear exchange began, a regional nuclear exchange, don't be so sure that it could be stopped at that. There might be involvement of China suddenly. The Russians, seeing the involvement of China, of course, would get very nervous, and I don't have to draw you a big, long picture of this one, do I? So this is very serious news, and again, let me read you this line. It, of course, is the lead story everywhere now. The U.S. analysts responsible for tracking India's nuclear program were all home asleep, one senior official speaking anonymously told the newspaper. And so how well will you sleep tonight? Now, it was at least 2 or 3 months ago that I received from a source that I am not going to divulge because he'd lose his job, two photographs that I consider to be really, really worrisome. And that isn't to say that I may know what I'm talking about. But I think I do. And without comment, I think toward the bottom of the hour, not yet, toward the bottom of the hour, we're going to post these photographs on the internet, and I'm going to ask you what they are. I know I have a lot of experts out there in high altitude and satellite imagery. And I'm going to ask those experts to take a look at these photographs and tell me what it is we're seeing. Maybe nothing to worry about, or it may be. And I told my source if I had not heard from him in an appropriate amount of time, I would post the photographs because I considered it potentially way too important, potentially, not to post. So it may be nothing, or it may be something. You tell me. Let's see what else is going. The U.S. and Russia have reached a tentative agreement on a Security Council statement outlining conditions for scaling back nuclear inspections in Iraq. Huh! The International Atomic Energy Agency concludes Iraq has answered all outstanding questions regarding its nuclear program. And so the council could endorse a shift from wide-ranging inspections to ongoing monitoring and surveillance of Iraqi nuclear facilities. Well, my God, we gave them enough time to get those things hidden if they have them. We really got snookered by Iraq. The UN did. And it's a joke. And I don't mean to say that the UN inspectors are a joke. They're not. But the politics of how it all came down, that's all a joke. And Iraq could have anything anywhere. Who's kidding who? This now from the UN. You know, on a day when we found out that while India tested three nuclear devices, our officials responsible for watching all this were sound asleep. Oh, deep impact, huh? Police discovered more than 30 human skulls. This is now with Reuters now. Reuters, all right. 30 human skulls in a cave in a Mexico City park Tuesday after a shootout. The man who said there were more bodies buried nearby. One of the caves was lined with human and animal bones and more than 30 human skulls, all of them at least 10 years old. An arrested man told investigators he and his friends used the caves to rape women and that four women's bodies were buried in a nearby cave. I'll leave that one without comment. Now, again, I want to be very careful about what I say here. And I would be glad to have some information on what I'm going to say, but I believe that scientists, astronomers, have detected a new comet emerging from behind the sun. Now, I don't know a lot about it just yet, but I would like to know more. I understand that in southern latitudes, the rumor is this comet may be bright enough to view during the daytime. During the daytime. So I don't know a lot more about it. I saw a remark attributed to Alan Hale regarding this. And if I'd had the time, I would have surely called Alan and tried to get him on the air tonight to tell us what's going on out there. But there is a new comet. I understand that there are people within the armed forces now that are reporting. The Army Times is apparently reporting there, that, in fact, the Gulf War syndrome, whatever in the hell it is real. And the Army Times says there is no cure for Gulf War illness. In what appears to be a complete reversal of military policy, the Army Times reported in its May 4th edition that the Gulf War illness not only exists, but that it is possibly communicable, and that there is, quote, no cure for the illness at this time, end quote. Since the first reports of illness suffered by Gulf War veterans, the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, of course, have continued to deny even the existence of it and attributed these maladies to post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, as you well know, this is what Joyce Riley was saying well over a year ago on this program, maybe a year and a half ago. She said, you better face up to it, folks. It's communicable. Looks like she's right. And no fix for it as of yet. Hey, Art, in case you haven't seen this one, the following from the Denver Post Sunday, May 10th, boy five years of age, arrested over gun threats. Memphis, Tennessee, a five-year-old kindergarten pupil was arrested after bringing a loaded pistol to school because he wanted to kill his teacher for punishing him with time out. Time out is a form of discipline for young children. They put them in a corner, or they've got these little time out closets, and they might put them in there. And so this little five-year-old was going to take the 25 caliber automatic and put a bullet through his teacher's head. In a moment, I've got something that has been submitted to us that I want you to hear. Remember that we had the words to a song? We had no song, we had no melody, it was suggested. Two digits for a date? Well, I've got my first good submission, and I'll play it for you here in a minute. It's all about the Y2K problem. Well, all right, Sean Mullen, I believe, of Venice, California, submitted the following. We just gave him the words. They're up on the website right now. Somebody wrote sort of a little poem or a little whatever it is you write when you write something to be sung. It's called Two Digits for a Date, and it's done to the tune of Gilligan's Island. That is what was suggested up on the website. And sure enough, this talented Sean Mullen from Venice, California, came up with the following. It's all about the Y2K problem. Listen closely. This is Sean Mullen.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of the doom that is our fate. That started when programmers used two digits for a date. Two digits for a date. Made memory was smaller than our disks were smaller too. Four digits are extravagant, so let's get by with two. Yes, let's get by with two. This works through 1999, the programmers did say. Unless we rewrite before that, twill all go away. All will go away. Oh, and at the base, but management had not a clue. It works fine now, you bet. A rewrite is a straight expense. We won't do that just yet.
Oh, well. minus 32.
You'll be minus 32. The problems we're about to face are frightening for sure. And reading every line of code is the only certain cure.
It's the only certain cure.
That's Sean Mullen of Venice, California. Two digits for a date.
From now I hope that things weren't left too late. And people aren't been lamenting. Four digits for a date. Four digits for a date.
Everything's up on the website. We've got two new things, that actually three, that you've got to see. Possibly a satellite image, an airborne image of something. You tell me what it is, please. And, of course, an artist's rendering of the Bangor, Washington UFO. Peter Davenport will be talking to us about that at the top of the hour on the website now.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998.
All right, good morning, everybody. This one comes under the category of, oh, what the hell, you only live once. It was 2 months ago that I received two very, very disturbing photographs from a source outside this country. I'm no expert. But notice how I always have to pause. When they stop, I have to stop. Anyway, again, I'm no expert, and I'm not sure what I'm seeing. I want people who are used to seeing aerial or satellite photography to go to my website. I told this source that I would wait a reasonable amount of time and gave him a couple of different opportunities to respond and tell me not to do it. I have destroyed the original information that came with these photographs to protect my source. And I there's nothing else I can do. So I have now posted these photographs. If you go to my website, it's under the category, it'll say right under the latest news and updates, what is this, and you can click on that, or that, and you can click on that. Satellite image question mark. And I've thought very hard about this. It's just not something that I can sit on forever, and I'm not gonna. And it may well be that I'm worried over nothing, but I don't think so. I think I'm worried over something. So those of you who are used to looking at these kind of images, would you please go take a look at that and tell me what it is that I'm seeing? Fax me, call me, mail me, tell me, get to me one way or the other. Maybe as the program goes on this morning, we're going to mainly be in open lines. Maybe I'll just open a line for anybody out there who knows what this is. All right. And then there's one other thing up on the current website that you need to see. It relates to something coming up next hour with Peter Davenport from the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington. Remember he told the story of the Bangor UFO that apparently hovered over some of our assets? Well, there are some interesting developments. Also, there is an artist rendering on my website right now of what this thing looks like to a witness. And we just got that up as usual along with these other two images like about 30 minutes before airtime. And so here it is. Ooh, how interesting. I'm looking at it myself. This is what an artist rendering of the object looks like. And, of course, we have, in fact, maybe we'll repeat them, quite a number of eyewitness reports seeing this same object. So this will give those of you who saw it an opportunity to go up there and say, hey, that's what I saw, or not. Anyway, the military would seem to be changing its story, and we'll have Peter Davenport, but you can go see the image right now. And I hope that Peter will have an opportunity to go up. Are you listening, Peter? And see the images that I have put up there after much anguish over it. A lot of anguish over it. So that's what's going on, and it's going to be a heavy night on the website. The address, if you don't know it, is www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. I'm probably going to get a visit over this. And if that's the case, then so be it. But I don't know, in my spot, I mean, what the hell else do you do with something like this, huh? Well, all right. Let's go to open line. Oh, there is one story I just got in. A 57-year-old woman walking her dog was knocked to the ground and attacked by two Canadian geese. Really? Carol Lee Ohl's face was swollen and bruised as a result of her encounter with the wild birds. She had, get this, just sounds like something out of a Hitchcock movie, two black eyes, a 3-inch scratch down her cheek, and suffered a concussion, perhaps from the fall. She was on a walkway with her dog Friday when she saw the birds with goslings on a lawn about 10 feet away. Moments later, the birds suddenly turned on her and ran toward her, honking. One flew straight at her, knocked her to the ground, and the other geese began to peck at her head and body as she yelled and waved her arms. Moments later, they were gone. This comes under my animals are turning against humans category. Okay, here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, Art?
I'm fine.
Art?
Yes.
Pleased to say hello with you. I'm from the Kingdom of Dane. Open lines this evening?
The Kingdom of where?
Kingdom of Dane, Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, open lines.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was wondering if you might have Charles Cagle on the line again.
About the sun.
Well, yeah, about the polar shifts somewhat, but mainly about ball of lightning.
His theory, which he developed by talking about ball lightning and all the rest of it, eventually led up to his theory about a polar shift, which would be induced by a giant ejecta, mass ejecta from the sun. And sure enough, here about, a month later, we're having regular giant ejecta from the sun.
Exactly.
Now, how warm and fuzzy do you feel about that?
I don't feel very warm and fuzzy about it, but I thought, I had an experience when I was 9 years old, and I thought, I always thought it was like something extraterrestrial, but now I think it was maybe ball lightning.
There is ball lightning, sir. Thank you very much. I understand. And people see it, and it would be very difficult to discern. If you saw ball lightning, you would not know whether you were seeing ball lightning, an energy source from beyond, some kind of UFO. You would have no idea really what you were seeing. I've never seen ball lightning, so I wouldn't know it if I saw it. And I might conclude a lot of different things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hi, turn your radio off, please.
Okay, it's off. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, I just checked out those images. It does look like an underground nuclear test to me.
Does it?
Yeah, to me, that's my opinion. But I work in graphic arts. I can't say I really look at too many satellite images, though.
Okay. I want to know what it is before I go any further. I want to know what it is I'm looking at. So that's your best guess, huh?
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to have Harlan on. I'm working a couple blocks where she lives.
Harlot?
Yeah.
It's been a while. I might have Harlot on again, but she pretty well said what she wanted to say. I don't know there would be value to having her on for another hour or two saying Hail Satan and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I could see that. All right, well, I just figured I'd let you know what I thought.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. There's somebody who got to see the images, and I'm going to reserve comment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes, hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Kent State, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been trying to get in forever because I've been looking on the Internet. Something I heard about on 60 Minutes about the Cheyenne Mountain incident, I think it was February 8th.
What incident do you refer to?
I'm not sure. I had missed the show, and I heard it. You were talking about it one night. I think you mentioned it with Ed Dane.
Well, I asked Ed about it,
mm-hmm.
And there are, stories going around that a number of Cheyenne Mountain employees, without notice and altogether, left their employment at Cheyenne Mountain, took their families, and moved to South America. Now, why would you imagine that might happen?
I haven't the slightest idea. You wouldn't have any idea where you can get more information on that.
No, if I did, I'd have it.
I'm sure you would.
But, it's just one of those things you go, oh, really? Uh-oh.
Also, the way you're setting up the table for the pictures, I haven't had a chance to look at them, and I'm no expert. I'm just a college student. But the way you're setting up, it seems like they're either in South Korea, or North Korea or Iraq, from the way you're setting it up. But
well, I have no comment. I can't comment.
I know.
And I don't even know what it is for sure, so all of this is premature. But I think that it has some national security implications. It might have. Let me put it that way, okay?
That'd be an educated guess, though?
That's an uneducated guess.
Okay.
All right? Thank you very much for the call. These were sent to me right now, I don't want to say any more about it at all, other than just to leave them there for comment. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you? This is Rick in Seattle. Let me get my radio real quick.
Hi, Rick. Good to have you on.
Thanks. I know you're going to have Mr. Davenport on later to talk about the Seattle thing, right?
The Washington thing.
Washington thing.
That's right.
And I was just curious. I know you've talked about it a little bit before, and I haven't been been able to really hear it when it's been on your program. And do you know if it's all over the state or if it's just in certain regions?
Are you referring to the sighting in Washington?
Yes.
It traversed the state, as I understand it, north to south, across the entire state. And it was seen at the Bangor facility.
Okay.
Where I am told we may have some nuclear assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are quite a few witnesses. I don't know if you... Did you hear Peter when he was on last time about
this?
No,
I did not.
All right. Then you're going to want to stay tuned next hour.
I will do
and we will play a few of the eyewitness tapes again for you.
Do you know the date that it happened?
We'll lay all that out for you right up here at the top of the hour.
Okay. I appreciate it, Art. I'll let you get back to business.
All right. Take care. First-time callers, call area 702-727-1222. You're not allowed to use your last name on the air.
Copy that.
That's the one rule we've got here. So we'll just make you Eric, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas? Oh, all right. Good.
Anyway, I used to be part of the Maine Limited Area Guard in the Marine Corps at the Bangor facility.
Oh?
And thought I might be able to, give you some information, clear up any anomalous suggestions or questions that you might have.
All right. You were at the Bangor facility in Washington?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you were in what position?
They have a Marine Corps Security Force detachment that guards the Maine Limited Area, is what they call the storage facility for the Strategic Weapons Facility Pacific.
So then you are confirming for us... Boy, that's a bad phone you've got there.
Yeah, I'm on a cellular.
Cellular. Okay, you're confirming for us then that they store nuclear weapons at that facility.
I can neither confirm nor deny, Art.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's good enough. Now, what happened is a UFO traveling at a tremendous rate of speed stopped directly above that facility recently, paused, and then shot on. You've told me what you can tell me, apparently. This incident occurred in the last, week or two.
Right, I heard the program when you discussed it. With your friend, Mr. Davenport?
Yes.
Right.
So, you've told me about as much as you can, huh?
Well, I could probably give you some insight on what was going on as far as what the security detachment was doing inside the facility. Maybe paint a picture for you.
All right. Paint it.
Well, I can't give you troop strength or any information on what personnel or assets are kept there.
Right.
Of course, there are towers that spotlight different areas along the perimeter. Try to keep unauthorized personnel out. what would happen as we were not able to maintain constant control of the airspace over the facility due to the Bremerton Municipal Airport being south of the facility.
Right.
South of the base there. However, first thing that would happen, you'd have a security alert. Reaction force personnel would respond to the area, and they would basically stand by. I mean, we were really kind of at the mercy of a flying anything. Department of Defense personnel would have to give us authorization to fire a UFO, whether it was, an experimental aircraft or if it was indeed some kind of alien entity. Would not necessarily be a threat, while it would be suspicious that it would be hovering over our main limited area. It doesn't necessarily justify the use of deadly force. So there'd be a certain amount of thumb twiddling and fingernail chewing, but, of course, the weapons would be there as far as
Peter Davenport spoke with a civilian official who originally confirmed the incident for him. And that was several days ago. And now this civilian official suddenly has done a 180-degree turnaround and will not even admit that he spoke to Peter Davenport.
Correct.
Why would you imagine that might occur?
Well, SWIFPAC, which he mentioned in his program, Strategic Weapons Facility Pacific, is a very large organization that handles strategic assets along the West Coast, and I'm sure that they have a lot of clout. And if one of their personnel wanted to discuss this, they may have been counseled to do otherwise in the interest of national security. I'm no longer stationed at the facility myself. I couldn't say, you know, I wasn't present when this incident actually occurred. But having been stationed there, I know what goes on, what procedures are as far as the main limited area guard and the Marine Corps detachment there.
Yeah. Under the circumstances, it's a good thing I bleeped out your last name.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the information, sir.
Well, I'm glad
appreciate
if I could, you know, help paint a picture of what might be going on there as far as the Security Force detachment.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You. Art.
Take care. Okay. Now, that's a pretty good setup for what's coming next with Peter Davenport. I want to give everybody enough of an opportunity to go up to the website for two, actually three, very important reasons tonight. One, I have posted these photographs that I have been dilly-dallying about posting for reasons that you may understand when you see them, or maybe not, I don't know. I want to know what this is a photograph of. Period. All right? So if you can, go take a look. And number two, there is a very simple artist rendering of the object that was seen over Bangor in Washington on the website as well, and maybe from it somebody will recognize something. But it's just a very simple rendering. Please take a look and tell us what you think, whether you've seen anything like it, whether you were one of the witnesses, and we're going to roll over this whole thing that occurred in Washington with Peter Davenport right after the top of the hour news. All this on the shocking news today of the three nuclear detonations in India. And believe me, the implications of that are very, very serious. And they're talking about other nations' reactions, including China. I'm Art Bell. And this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 12, 1998.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. All right, we are going to do a number of things this hour. The first is, about 2 months ago, I received two images from outside the country. And I did receive a message with them. I have destroyed that message on purpose. Because I want to protect the anonymity of the person who sent them, who would lose his job without question. I've been wondering what to do with these images for the last couple of months. I finally decided I've waited long enough. They're on the website right now. And all I would like you to do is take a look at the images and tell me what you think they are. You tell me what you're seeing, all right? It's like a big Rorschach test. Anybody familiar with aerial photography or satellite imagery, I would like you to take a look at this and tell me what you're seeing. And it's the responses so far, I'm not going to begin to divulge the responses for perhaps about an hour, are very, very interesting. The big news of the day, of course, is of the nuclear tests done in India. And the Reuters story on these tests suggests that, quoting from Reuters, the U.S. analysts responsible for tracking India's nuclear program were all home asleep. One official said, speaking anonymously. So our guys were all asleep when this occurred, and apparently we had some hours' notice that it was going to happen, about 6 hours. They got the image, but everybody responsible, I guess, for identifying it and saying what it was and what was about to happen was at home, in bed, asleep. So anyway, I guess that jogged me a little bit, and I knew it was about time to post these photographs, and I would appreciate your input. You'll see them on my website now, and if I get in trouble about it, who cares, I guess. At some point or another, you've got to say either I'm going to do this or I'm not, and I opt in favor of doing it. It may be nothing, it may be something indeed. I'll let you tell me. Now, so I have posted these very controversial photographs that I've been holding. Number two, there has been a second chapter in this UFO story in the state of Washington. Some very, very interesting developments, and we'll have Peter Davenport on in a moment. Refresh your memory, perhaps, with the audio from a couple of witnesses, and then tell you what has happened since. Well, all right. Here once again from the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle with an increasingly intriguing story is Peter Davenport. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art. Privileged to be here tonight.
Good to have you, and I have to remind you, as always, stay good and close to your phone for us.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better. All right. You heard, apparently, the telephone call I got just before the top of the hour from a Marine who had been at Bangor.
I did.
And he gave us the standard, I asked him if there were nuclear devices there, and he said, I can neither confirm nor deny it, which is the usual answer given when, in fact, there are nuclear or strategic weapons at a site.
To be expected, I think.
Yeah, to be expected. A very interesting call. Now, let's refresh the audience. A lot of them have not heard. Even some of your own Washington residents have called, and they didn't even know what the heck happened in Washington. So let's begin at the beginning and do a couple of the audio clips.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Why don't we give our listeners a minute or two to get up to the website? I think it would be very interesting to them to look at the image that was sent to us by the witness over in Polesbo, Washington. That's about 20 miles to the west of Seattle. We'll give them a minute or two to get to that website and pull up the picture, and then we'll play the minute or minute and a half audio cut that we have of this gentleman reporting what he saw that had just gone over Bangor Submarine Base. And if it doesn't raise goose flesh on the people who are looking at that image...
Okay, I'm looking at the image right now. And for those who don't... We've got to remember, a lot of people don't have computers. It shows... Yep. What appear to be, are these trees, I would say?
Yeah, he has trees down in the left-hand corner.
All right.
And there, up above them, is an oval-shaped object. He's looking, apparently, at the bottom side of a disc, which is tipped about 30 or 35 degrees, he estimated, away from him,
So he is getting now a very good look at the bottom of the craft, and on the outside ring on the bottom of that craft, like a donut,
yeah,
a very bright section, and in the center, like a donut hole that occupies about a third of the diameter of the bottom of the disc,
right,
is totally black.
Now, he said black, and you couldn't see through the black? You couldn't see stars through the black or anything else?
It was just black from his vantage point, as far as I know, like charcoal or,
okay,
or dark gray. And he got a very good look at that object, even though he saw it for only an estimated 3 to 5 seconds, probably closer to three. It was a very, very clear night, he reports. He was on the second floor of his building. I've met this gentleman. He attended our monthly UFO meeting up here in Seattle,
right,
last Saturday. And after I'd gone through describing his report, he very, very almost meekly raised his hand and he said, "I am the gentleman who reported that to you." So he surprised us by showing up at our meeting. We were delighted to have him there. Very urbane, very intelligent guy, very sincere. And I am inclined to believe every word he's told us so far.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was on TV News up here last night. A local TV station did a very fine report on this particular case. They first reported it as a probable meteorite the night of the event.
Yeah.
But we woke them up, and we shared with them some of the reports that have come to us. I don't know if your webmasters had time to put up the summary of the 11 major reports of this event that have come to us from all over the state of Washington. But whereas last week, Art, when I reported on your program that the object shot from north to south with a pause, a brief pause over Bangor submarine base, we now happen to know that that object hooked around to the east down near Portland, just north of Portland. And we just on Sunday of this past week received a report from a member of a law enforcement community in Yakima, Washington. That's southeast of Seattle, probably 150 miles or so, who saw an object streaking from south to north now, out east of Yakima. He saw it for about 2 seconds, and during his brief sighting, it changed from green to red.
My, my.
This is a very, it is stacking up to be a very, very complex case. From the very beginning, the personnel at Bangor Base, who have been very courteous, very professional, I have no complaints except for the fact that we can't get much information out of them. They have been very careful with me. For example, 8 days ago, Monday, when I called them and talked to the public affairs office, I requested permission to talk to the officer in charge of base security.
Right.
I thought that would be the appropriate person to talk to.
Right, sure.
Well, I talked to the young gentleman who answered the phone, and I was directed then to the most senior civilian individual who works in that office. They apparently have a military side and a civilian side, and I was directed to the civilian side. That is the gentleman who apprised me after a long, long conversation, and my long-distance phone bill will show that conversation very clearly, or mm-hmm. at least the time spent on the telephone to that number.
Right.
He did admit to me that two individuals from inside, I got the impression they worked inside Bangor Base, had reported an incident, quote, quote, an incident. He would go no further than that. He's very professional, very reserved. He knows what he's doing. And I got the distinct impression.
Now, this is a civil service employee of some kind?
I presume that would be the case, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But let's go to the couple of audio cuts. These first two...
Wait, Peter, I have one more question. This fellow, can you give us his job title?
He's a public affairs or public information officer.
Good enough. All right.
And
now,
I don't wish to come down too hard on him personally. It's the policy that we're struggling here with, not an individual.
All right, fine. Let's do the setup.
Yeah. The first cut is going to introduce our listeners to the first sighting of this object. Again, it took place on Wednesday, the 22nd of April, at about 9:20 or 9:22 p.m. This is a young fellow, age 16, who was driving with his mother up about 20 miles north of Seattle. They saw an object that at first appeared to be stationary, then it grew a tail, it dropped down vertically, and then it streaked to the south-southwest, which, by the way, is in the direction of Bangor Base.
let's listen to this first cut. It's about 60 seconds long or so. Here
All
we
right.
go.
All right, here we go.
And what did you see on the 22nd of April, Peter?
Well, I saw a blue light that seemed to hover in the clouds. It was blue in the center, bright blue in the center, with a blue yoke almost around it. It hovered there for about 30 seconds, and about three seconds,
mm-hmm.
when it started to grow a tail, and it was still stable when it grew the tail,
mm-hmm.
and then it shot down across the sky at about a 45-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
and that took for about 5 to 6 seconds for it to shoot down across the sky and disappear below the horizon.
And what direction do you think it was going as it left your position?
From my position, it was headed about south, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. And where were you located at the time of your sighting, please?
I was located about 3 miles south at Kanawha Gulf Coast, the Mahoney.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so about roughly 20 miles north of Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that was the first sighting of the object, so far as we are aware.
Peter, what would remain stationary, grow a tail, and then, just like out of, you know, that's how when they go to warp drive in Star Trek?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
That's the image that comes to mind, too. Although, let it be said that if, for example, a meteor is flying directly at you, it can appear stationary, for sure. So it's the remaining reports that really put the whole thing into focus a little bit better. This fellow reported that it appeared to drop down vertically through overcast. That was the first report we took from him.
Right.
We're having a hard time finding that overcast or cloud on that particular date. But by and large, it's a very good report, and his mother was present at the sighting as well. So
gotcha.
We have two people there.
Right.
Now, that sets us up for the big enchilada, if you will. This is the report we took from Poolsbo, Washington. That's about 20 miles to the west of Seattle. It's on the northeast corner, very close to the Bangor submarine facility. Again, the next witness we're going to hear was on the second floor of his building, looking to the southwest, and this is what he describes he saw that night on the 22nd of April. Here we go. It's about a 88-second cut, I think, Art.
We've got the time. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Okay, it was approximately 9:20 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on Wednesday evening, and I live about a half mile from the Bangor submarine base.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking out a second floor bedroom window towards the base when I noticed a circular disc-shaped object approximately three-quarter mile from my house.
Mm-hmm.
It was also about 300 feet above the ground, about 200 feet above the tree line. The object appeared to be 50 to 60 feet long and was moving from a north to south direction towards the center of the Bangor submarine base.
Mm-hmm.
It was circular, but it was tilted at about, it seemed to be tilted at about a 35-degree angle with the bottom towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that tilt, there was a slight oval shape to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you see on the bottom of it?
The entire bottom of the craft was glowing with a white light. It wasn't a bright light that shone down to the ground. It was more just a very bright white glow.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the center section, there was a circular area in the center that comprised about 30% of the diameter of the disc, and that center section was black.
That's what he saw.
And that's, in fact, what is depicted in a very simple presentation right now up on the website of what this man saw above this submarine base.
And this gentleman is a computer specialist. He sat down and created that image. It's a computer-generated image, and sent it to us and gave us permission to share it with you. We are terribly grateful to him. again, I met him. I had a long conversation with him on Saturday.
Right.
Very bright guy. He's lived in his area virtually all of his adult life. He knows the lay of the land quite well. Very good observer, very precise reporter of what he saw, and apparently a very good memory of what he saw. Now, his report fits in perfectly with about 10 other reports, major reports we've received. In what we've posted to the website, if it's up there yet, it'll certainly be on our website tomorrow. We'll share it with you, Art.
All right.
In addition to the 11 major reports that we've received so far, there have been other minor reports that tend to corroborate this incident. Again, in the first report we heard, the young lad reporting at 20 miles north of Seattle, he reports that it was blue. It is also blue over the submarine base a matter of a few seconds later, we estimate. Later on, it turned green, it maneuvered, it went down, it went up, it streaked, it slowed, and it turned about 120 degrees to the left and shot up to Yakima.
Well, no meteorite, I can imagine, could do any of that.
No, it's not consistent with a meteorite, with weather balloons, with swamp gas, or crash dummies, so far as we can tell.
So it looks like you've got a real one on your hands. All right, so you began then. Obviously, you've got enough reports. You've documented what you've got. You know what happened. You talked to this one civilian official who admitted to you, yes, there had been an incident.
Yes.
And you now have gone back to that facility, and he now says he never talked to you?
Well, in all fairness to him, I've not gone back to him. The report that Banger and his office now apparently denies that they ever made that representation to me about two reports inside Banger, I cannot personally confirm. It's been reported to me by Como News up here, the TV station.
In other words, Como did an inquiry and got a denial?
Yes, they talked to this gentleman last night in the course of preparing their 11 o'clock.
The same man, Peter?
The
same man.
And he...
Peter, hold right there, all right?
Yep.
We're at the bottom of the hour, and I want to break here. Now, isn't this intriguing? Peter talks to a man who says one thing, and Como Television talks to the same man a day later or so, and they get an entirely different story. What do you suppose they might have been looking at Bangor? I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12th, 1998. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998.
You know, I really do wonder sometimes how long they are going to leave me on the air. We just keep pushing the envelope a little farther and a little farther, and it'll be kind of interesting to see when the envelope tears. Here we go. Here comes Peter Davenport once again from the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle. And as we began to discuss at the bottom of the hour, he had an initial report from this apparent civil service employee, a public relations type, who admitted, yes, there had been an incident at Bangor. But then when Como TV called him to check on the report, he apparently denied it to them. Correct, Peter?
That is my understanding at this time. It's rumor at this stage, but it's a reliable rumor as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
And also, as if things don't happen fast enough in this business, Art, I just took a call from the gentleman over in Poolsville, Washington, whose voice our listeners just heard in the last audio cut.
Yes.
He called me to apprise me of what I had forgotten. There apparently is a videotape now that's been identified of that object going across the Bangor submarine base.
You're kidding.
Como tried to get it. Apparently there's some difficulty in the negotiations. They weren't able to secure it.
In the possession of a civilian or what?
Apparently. I don't know any more details than that. I don't know the name of the individual. Don't know anything about the disposition of that tape, the contents, or anything like that. But if that individual is within earshot of us, we would really like to get at least a still photo.
A snappy.
Yeah. If we can get one, we'd be happy to share it with you. Of course, Art, we'll put it right up on your website, and we'll let your listeners see what actually took place there. Not an artist's rendition, a video clip of it.
Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my. All right. All right, so there we are. And that's where we sit now. But that is all new information. And again, Como TV is involved. They're my affiliate up there. I can probably get some inside word from them, Peter.
Yeah, that would be great. I know they're working on it. They did mention it last night when I interviewed in their studios for the news clip last night. And I know that late last night they were still trying to get the rights to use it for their news.
Well, in more ways than one, this is a very strange day because, as you know, India lit off three and caught our security people, intelligence people, napping. They were all home in bed asleep, even with the hours of notice that we had. And there's just some pretty strange times, Peter.
Yeah.
Pretty strange times. And I would think, the reason I mention that is I would think that these, whatever they are, these objects that we see, have a disproportionate interest in our nuclear facilities.
That could be. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. There is a story circulating about Chernobyl in 1986 when it blew up, April 86, I think it was, when it blew its top.
Right.
There are reports of UFOs that were sighted, or at least one UFO, a disc-shaped UFO in proximity to that nuclear power plant up north of Kiev when it blew up, but I cannot confirm that. As far as I'm concerned, it's only rumor at this stage. But it comes out of the Soviet Union, and it appears to be to come from a good source.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
Fascinating night. Anything else you want to add, Peter?
Yeah, one other thing. You asked me about this Marine guard who called in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I have a short story that pertains to what he had to report. I think he said that they do not have defense against airborne threat at Bangor.
Basically, that they don't. And the reason they don't, I think he said, was because of the proximity of the commercial airport, that they're overflown all the time or something.
Well, that sort of caused me to perk up my ears, because just about 2 months ago, I was talking to a gentleman here in Seattle who owns a Russian-made hydrofoil boat, about 20 feet long, about 6 or 8 feet wide. The Soviets brought a whole bunch of them to Vancouver, B.C. for the 1986 Expo.
Huh.
When they closed down the Expo, the Soviets just sold about 20 of them here in the Northwest. They're used up in San Juan County among the islands for high-speed commuters and so on and so forth.
this gentleman was telling me how just a couple of years ago he was flying by the Bangor submarine facility in his Russian hydrofoil at about 60 or 70 knots, and he and his friend decided they ought to pull a little bit closer to the submarine base just to take a look.
Yes.
They angled in towards the base, again, about 70 miles an hour or so, and he said he was surprised by the activity, the animation on the long piers they have where the submarines are pulled up.
Uh-huh.
And within a matter of seconds, one of the individuals appeared to pull out from a bunker what appeared to him to be a black stovepipe and cradle it on his shoulder. Now, I doubt that it was a stovepipe.
I doubt it was a stovepipe, too.
And he described to me in great animation the Hobson's choice that he felt he was faced with. Does he bail out of his cherished high-speed Russian hydrofoil
yeah.
at 70 miles an hour
yeah.
with the hydrofoils just inches below him that looks something like Paul Bunyan's straight razor? Or does he take his chances with that stovepipe? And they quickly turned away from the Bangor submarine base. That story, however, came to mind when that young Marine was talking. I cannot believe that that facility is not protected against every threat that they can possibly imagine.
I'm sure it is, but what he was pointing out was that there is so much commercial air traffic that, in essence, he was saying, he wasn't really saying there was no defense. He was saying yeah. that they just put up with people flying over it or near it or within eyesight of it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's correct.
I suspect that's the case. One of the questions I posed to the public information officer I spoke with is whether they have television or video coverage of the base. I cannot believe that they do not have mounted cameras that record every seagull.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. You mean he said they didn't?
He said he could not comment on that point.
I see. Well, that may be like saying we can neither confirm nor deny. Another version thereof.
That may be the reason that we're having difficulty getting the video. We don't know where it's come from. Perhaps Como does up here, but I certainly don't.
All right. Why don't we give out your number there, reporting number, so if anybody has any info, they can get it to you.
Yeah, I'll give out our phone number. I'll also give out our website address.
All right.
The UFO reporting hotline number in Seattle is area code 206-722-3000, and our website address is www.ufocenter, one word, ufocenter.com. And if people, I would be grateful if they saw this object on the 22nd of April and would like to submit a report. We're now aware of it. It would be helpful if they could submit reports over our website. We have a standardized form there. Or they can send me an email, which is simply director@ufocenter.com.
As always, wonderful work, good reporting, careful investigation. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Art. It's been a pleasure. It always is a privilege to be here.
Take care. That's Peter Davenport at the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington. We're going back to open lines here shortly. God, here's an interesting fax. I'm getting a lot of interesting faxes. It's from Sandy, and I won't give her last name, though. She gives it here. Hi, Art. I have an audio tape message of a ghost. I am a God-fearing woman and do not like pranks, so I assure you this is no prank. I once lived in a very haunted house and would love to share my tape and history. If you're interested, I have an email, gives email address, or my home phone, she gives a phone number. Love your program. Always been a faithful listener and seeker of truth for several years. Best wishes always, Sandy, and I won't give her last name. I think I'm going to call Sandy right now. See if this is true. God-fearing, huh? Okay. Nothing like doing it right here on the air. Let me see if I can do this. See if we can get a ring.
Hello?
Sandy, it's
yes,
Art.
Yes, I heard on the radio.
Okay, then you know it's Art Bell and you know you're on the air, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. You really have a tape of a ghost?
Yes, I do.
Do you have it to where you could play it on, you know, like hold your phone up to the tape recorder and play it?
Yeah, I've got it set just in case you would have called, so.
All right. First, then, tell us a little bit of history about what we're going to hear. When did you get this? How'd you get it? What happened?
Well, it's been about 10 years ago, and we lived in a house. My daughter was 11 or 12 at the time, and kind of so nervous.
Just relax.
Anyway, she...
Where was this?
This was in Oroville, California.
Oroville, California, all right.
I'm living in Washington now.
All right.
And she kept telling me that she heard knocking on the wall in this house. And I said, no, 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 I'm not going to have any ghost business, and I don't want to hear this stuff. And,
yeah.
Her and her little friend were in her room, and they had a, one of those real small little radios, you know, you give a kid.
Sure.
Record tapes. And her and her friend would record, you know, a fantasy story. Well, one day they had recorded a story on the tape, and they went to play it, and there was something else on the tape before their story started. On the original tape, it actually was on the part that wasn't even magnetized. It was on that little, you know, that little trailer that starts the tape.
You're kidding.
No. And when I heard the, she, you know, excitedly brought it to me, and I played it, and I played it again, and I played it again, and then I got terrified. And a lot of things happened in that house after that. I got angry with the ghost and told it to leave us alone.
Did that work?
Well, it basically left me alone. My son was in his room and in his bed, and as his bed was being dragged across the floor.
What?
In it.
What?
Yeah. And
now you're not a drinker, you're not a drug user.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm about as grounded as I come.
You saw your son's bed being dragged with him in it?
Well, he was awake, and he told me about it, and I went into his room and saw that his bed was actually 3 feet from where
it had been.
It normally was, and he had been laying in it. You know, he had gone to bed, been laying there a couple of minutes, and the bed just started sliding across the floor.
Sandy.
I slept in a water bed, and at night, every once in a while, the water in it would just start churning like it was an egg beater inside the mattress. And it was kind of like.
Now, I sleep in a water bed, Sandy, and the last thing I want to think about is something down in the water. Oh, my God.
Turning it, yeah. But it was like he just played these little jokes. You know,
uh-huh.
Little things, like an exercise bike and just start spinning the wheels. Or
oh, humorous.
Would knock on the walls every once in a while.
Yeah.
And one day I was looking in a cupboard, and it knocked out, you know, that shave and a haircut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't knock back, and so it knocked back real hard. You know, that last little dut dut. It just slammed it into the wall.
I experienced that once here several months ago in the studio, Sandy. I'm telling you the truth now. All of a sudden, there was a crash on my door. I mean, I've got a studio inside my home,
uh-huh.
And there's nobody here. Some cats, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were all asleep on the bed with my wife. And, of course, I didn't know that at the time, but, I mean, it's like in the movies where you see that horrible crash and a door bends inward. I'm not saying it bent inward. It didn't. But, I mean, I thought, my God, 200 pounds just hit that door. It was a big crash. And I ran over and opened the door, and there was absolutely nothing there. Ran across the house into the bedroom. My wife was asleep with all three cats sitting right there. So I know about these horrible knocks and bangs.
Same ghost, maybe.
Scared the you-know-what out of me.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you play this for us?
It sounds really deep, and the first few times I heard it, I had to listen several times before I really realized what he was saying. But I'm going to play
it. Oh, you mean there's a voice?
It's a voice.
All right.
He left this voice message on the tape.
All right. Play it. Just play it first without telling us.
Okay, here goes.
Let's see what we've got here. So far, nothing.
Diana?
goodness.
That came across okay?
It came across, yeah.
It's got kind of a long trail at the beginning. It's been put onto another tape from the original.
All right, now rewind it. This time, tell me what you think. Now, you've listened many times. We have not. What do you think it says?
Let me tell you first.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us now.
He says, I wish we were together.
Oh, all right, play it again.
Okay, it's got like a long lead-in.
So. Well, just go ahead and start the lead-in, and then, in fact, start it right now.
Okay.
We know it's a few seconds.
Yeah.
And so here it comes again. I wish we were together, huh?
Here goes.
Listen carefully. Right after the leader. Oh, God, that is what it says. This is like listening to David Oates in reverse speech, you know.
I know, maybe you could reverse it.
It's exactly...
No, it really sounds strange.
Oh,
you know?
Sandy.
It's got that clicking noise in the back.
Oh, Sandy. Rewind it one last time. There is no question about it. It says, I wish we were together. So, do you have any idea of who that is, Sandy?
Absolutely not. But we did find out after, you know, the house was kind of active, and my daughter went, and she had a little friend there in the neighborhood, and her mother said that there was a murder and a suicide in that house. And it had happened in, there was two bathrooms, and it had happened in one of the bathrooms. Well, I had always never felt alone in that one bathroom. I never used it because I always felt something else there.
I hear you. Now that is creepy. That is really creepy.
Isn't it? It just makes the hair stand up, you know. I'm used to it now, but it used to just make my hair stand up.
Well, I'm not. So play it one last time. Hit it one last time. I want to listen very carefully.
I'm going to start it. Give it a second or two to get up to
I wish we were together is what it says.
Here comes.
Okay. Anytime. Oh, Sandy.
Rich, huh?
I'll tell you, and then what follows. In other words, what you've got on there is
what comes after is my daughter's voice.
I understand. I heard that. But
yes.
There's the leader is what you're talking about. There's nothing on the leader.
Yeah,
The minute the leader is over, then this comes on, and then whatever your daughter was doing is on after that.
Right. It's like it just moved everything over, and this voice was just there.
Well, I would have totally, totally freaked out. In fact, I would have called. did you get in touch with anybody? Did you consult an exorcist?
No, I contemplated for a couple of days of calling a Catholic priest or something, you know, to rid the house of this entity, but... I ended up just getting really mad, and I just stood there, and I just said, you know, you leave us alone. When you start paying rent on this house, then you can haunt it, but until then, leave us alone. And my kids just like, Mom! But I did not want my kids all sleeping on the couches because they were afraid of their rooms and that kind of thing.
I don't blame them.
And so
I would be too. Sandy, would you do me a gigantic favor?
Sure.
And can you mail me a dub, one generation off the original?
Can.
You can?
Yep. Your address is on the website, right?
Yes, it is. And I'll give it to you now if you want it.
I don't have a pen.
All right, then I'll tell you what I'm going
to
do.
Get it right off the website.
Tell you what I'm going
to do.
I'll get a piece of paper and a pencil. When I come back after the top of the hour, I'll give my address just to be sure you get it, all right?
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
Sandy, bless your heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
And you take care.
I will.
All right, bye. Oh, man. That's Sandy now in Washington. And anybody out there have any comments on that one? There are two photographs that I fear. I don't want to say anything just yet, but there are two photographs that I would like you to look at on my website right now. In fact, if anybody knows, if anybody is an expert on what these photographs depict, send me a fax with your name and number, and I'll call you, and we'll get you on the air. Maybe we'll talk about it. From the high and wet desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12th, 1998. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12th, 1998.
Well, this is a totally creeped out night. And I mean a creeped out night, folks. There's a lot going on. Item one. Those two photographs that I've been holding now for the better part of a couple of months, I have finally released. They are on my website right now. I've got a fax from somebody here. It says, Art, help. I've been all over your website and can't find these photos anywhere. I can't tell you what I think they are if I can't see them. Where the heck did Keith hide them? This is unbelievable. I mean, it's like the first item in the new section. Well, maybe it's not the first item. Maybe it's the second item. Let me see if I can get in myself and look. It's like you can't miss them. It says in the new items, what is this and what is that? And you're supposed to click on this or that. Okay, it's the second item. Dated 5-12-98. It says, what is this? You can click on that or that. And you can click on that. Satellite image, question mark. And the only thing that I'm going to tell you about these photographs is I got them 2 months ago. I am just a layman, but I think that I know what I'm looking at. And I don't want to say. I want you to take a look, those of you who are familiar with aerial photography and satellite photography, you take a look and you tell me what it is. And if we've got an expert out there who would like to come on the air and tell everybody what it is, then fine. I have destroyed the email that came with this originally, with these images. But I can tell you that, and I said then and I say now, that they possibly or potentially have national security implications. And I've waited long enough. The fellow said if I were to release the photographs, he'd get fired. And so I'm going to hold back the information regarding where I got them, and there's quite an interesting story there. And I do this in the shadow today of the detonation of three nuclear devices, as you well know, by India. It's the lead news right now. And incredibly, incredibly, Reuters is reporting that we had, I guess, about 6 hours satellite image notification of scrambling on the ground, indicating there was about to be a test or a detonation in India. And Reuters reports that a source has told them that everybody responsible for watching or analyzing this kind of thing was asleep in bed. Dolores in Portland, Oregon writes simply, Art, with respect to India's three nuclear detonations, I think there's going to be the biggest pissing contest ever. I agree with Dolores. Pakistan will either fire a rocket, a strategic rocket, or themselves detonate a nuclear explosion. China may well feel pressed to detonate a nuclear explosion. The whole thing may well fall apart as a result of this. Now, the scrambling behind the scenes, of course, is to get everybody to quickly sign on to a test ban treaty once again. This in view of strange objects above strategic locations, as reported last hour by Peter Davenport, looking very closely at what we're doing with nukes. Now, if they, in quotes, are out there, it would follow that they would be very interested in this sort of thing. Could this test of three devices in India escalate? Oh, yes, very quickly. In fact, even Japan might quickly feel pressured, as might Korea, to respond. And we could begin seeing detonations of nuclear devices all over the planet. So what we have to hope now is that those diplomats who are scrambling to get everybody to sign on to something to stop this right now, and I mean right now, it should have been stopped before it occurred, but the CIA screwed up. Obviously, they screwed up. Now, whether the diplomats can put the Band-Aid on the nuclear detonation or not, I don't know. We'll see. And then, just prior to the beginning of this hour, this lady called, named Sandy, with a tape of a ghost. Damnedest thing you ever heard. And you may want to comment on that. Unbelievable. A very interesting night all the way around. In addition, this object that was seen in Washington over submarine base has been drawn by one of the witnesses, and that is also on my website right now. Artist rendering of Bangor UFO. So you might want to take a look at that one as well. So there's hot stuff going on the website. Let me know, and we may get some more reports during the night tonight. Really got to wonder how long they're going to allow me to do this, because I wonder. We just go treading through all kinds of strange territory. But life is short, right? Right, open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off. That's number one. Are you there?
Yes. Is this all right?
Yes, it is.
Well, if you remember, you had Lori Toy on the other night.
I do remember, yes.
And you remember what she told? She said that those people are not out to hurt us.
I recall that she said that, yes.
So we shouldn't worry about that. I think they're here to persuade us to get out of the business, not to destroy ourselves. Aren't we about to join the Federation of the Universe?
Beats me. I mean, there are people who believe that. There are people who believe that whoever they, in quotes, are, that they're harmless, and there's lots of other people like Dr. Jacobs who believe that they are not harmless at all and would do us great harm. So I would say, before we conclude what they are all about, we should meet with some of them and determine for ourselves. What do you think?
Haven't we already done that?
Well, do you know that for a fact?
No.
Nor do I. So, your guess is as good as mine.
All right. That was a suggestion, Art.
All right. Thank you very much. Look, many of my guests have divergent opinions about many things, including who they are and what they are all about. And until I have proof of anything one way or the other, I have to consider all those divergent opinions and not be satisfied with any single thing. On my international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Aaron in Winnipeg?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, interesting show going as usual, and I really found last night's show very interesting.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I regret that I wasn't able to get through, and if it's okay, I'd like to toss out an idea that I would have called about last night.
Okay.
Okay, you know how they were talking a lot about the about Genesis chapter 6 with the offspring of immortal beings or supernatural beings?
Yes.
I'm wondering now, this is just an idea, I'm wondering if those beings had any hand in possibly like building pyramids and things like that.
Beats me.
I mean, the way the pyramids and that are built, you know, it seems like such a huge undertaking. You wonder if it, and they didn't, as far as we know, they didn't have any kind of machinery like they have today, you know, and so I'm wondering about that.
Well, I am too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. About things that we don't know one way or the other for sure, one can only wonder. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Bell. This is Curtis from Lakewood, Colorado. Listen to you on 630 KHOW.
Hello, Curtis.
I'd like to change the subject a little bit if I could.
Absolutely.
My fiance lives in St. George, Utah.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly there was an earthquake about 10 years ago there. And they say they still feel them, tremors every, you know, a few times a week.
Right.
And I was just curious, never heard anything mentioned on your show about it, with some of your guests that talk about earthquakes and stuff.
I've never heard it mentioned either.
I was just curious if, you know, if they're aware of it or what.
Okay.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, thank you. Maybe somebody will pop up with some info I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Gary from Jefferson City, Missouri.
Hi, Gary.
This is Art Bell.
Yes.
Yeah, the question that I have for you this morning is, why don't we hear more about Zachariah Sitchin?
I've had him on the air many times.
No, that's not the question I want. More exploration and more research, or the Hubble telescope being pointed toward this 12th planet that he says is out there?
Well, I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea whether he could provide precise pointing a data for the Hubble, nor do I know if it's close enough to even yet be seen by Hubble. So I don't know any of that.
Well, the reason I was asking is because when you get pictures back now from the Hubble telescope, you get galaxies and starbursts and black holes and so forth that seem to be several thousands of light years away from the Earth, but the 12th planet, according to him, is, although it has an orbit of about a trillion miles or something like that, anyway, it takes about 3,600 years to get around the Earth, around the Sun once, then it looks to me like that would be close enough to where we could probably see it if it was coming back on its return trip toward the Sun now, which I believe it is, in my estimation, in my calculations.
What do you base that on?
Well, I was basing it on the fact that if it coincides with the Jewish calendar, and we got 360 days a year, each day being equal to a year of the 12th planet, then perhaps it would be on its return toward the Earth now if Christ, when he ascended into the heavens, after he was resurrected and the clouds received him out of their sight, whether he went back to the planet heaven via a flying saucer or whether he just went back on his own power, assuming that the 12th planet may be the planet heaven, and that this planet could be in our vicinity, and it also has inhabitants on it.
Boy, that's an awful...
Zachariah Sitchin is saying.
That's an awful, awful bunch of presumptions there, though.
It really is. But the thing is, this is how we discover a lot of things, you know, is by asking questions. And so I'm asking this kind of a question, that if it is the 12th, if the 12th planet and the planet Heaven are the same thing, then and Christ is due to return, as a lot of people predict, around the year 2000 or
All right, well, let me give you my take on it. I don't think that Heaven is a planet. That's just my take. I don't think Heaven is a planet. I don't think Heaven is a physical place as we understand it, returning every 10,000 years or any amount of years. If there is a heaven, a place where souls, disembodied souls, reside, if there is such a place, I don't think that it's in the physical plane. But then again, what do I know? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell. This is Dr. Singh.
Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
Dr. Singh here.
Yes, Dr. Singh.
I was hearing Peter Davenport, and I had told him about my experience of seeing the green light. And just wanted to let you know what I saw.
And what did you see?
Well, I was traveling from the Space Assess Society's meeting in Arizona, coming back from Arizona through Yreka, California. And when I was near Vancouver, I saw a green light coming down vertically.
On what date, Doctor?
22nd.
April 22nd?
April 22nd, 9/27.
Oh, Doctor, you should be calling Peter Davenport.
I have.
You are a trained observer, and Peter Davenport.
I have called him.
You have already called him?
Yes.
All right.
He had wanted me to send him a report. But it was something else that happened that night.
And what was that?
That was the light hovered in front of me about 120-150 feet. I started writing down words that didn't mean anything to me until I spoke to my girlfriend, and she told me that these are stars. And then I spoke to Standing Elk, who is a close friend of Robert Gospel.
Yes.
And he told me that there are some meanings to this planets. And at the end of this whole experience, I wrote a sentence saying, the belt is arranged, let me try to remember again, the belt is arranged, I can't remember it right now. I have written it down, but it's not with me right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate your report, Doctor, and I certainly appreciate your giving it to Peter Davenport. There has been found a new comet, ladies and gentlemen. There is an image of the comet, and I'll try and get a link to it. Trying to get Keith to link to it. I'm just getting the information now. I mentioned this at 10 o'clock that I had heard some rumors about a new comet. And apparently Alan Hale has made some comments on this new comet. Very, very interesting. Let's see. May 5th, 1998, announces the discovery of C-1998 J-1 SOHO by S. Stesberger, I believe it is, of a bright comet in the northwestern corner of the field of view of the C-3 coronagraph. Now, this is something apparently found by the SOHO satellite. That's the satellite that looks at what's going on in the sun. And they found this 8 degrees from the sun. The computed parabolic orbit by Marsden, that'd be Brian Marsden, indicates that, let's see, May 8th and 9th should be, May 8th and 9th have already come and gone. However, the comet is expected to move toward the southeast, may become visible as an evening object in the last half of May, with the southern hemisphere favored. something to ponder. Will this comet, or could this comet, be observable in the daytime? So they're asking for comments on this. Very, very interesting. So in the southern hemisphere, toward the end of the month, if I'm interpreting this correctly, we may have a comet that may be observable during the day. Wouldn't that be something? Another comet coming around the bend, coming around the sun. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 12, 1998.
Here's somebody who writes, "Hey Art, would you please stop playing that rain dance bumper music? It just might stop the raining in Nevada. We're sick of it." Yeah, I'm sick of it too. I don't think it's coming from my bumper music, but your point is well taken. And once again, it is definitely pouring out there. Oh boy, is it pouring. And it's pouring weirdness in here, too. I think somewhere behind that blanket of clouds and rain, there is a full moon, isn't there? All right, back now to the phones. Boy, am I getting some interesting responses on those photographs. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, this is Jack in Tempe, Arizona.
Hi, Jack. Turn your radio off for us.
Okay, it's off.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
Yep, cool. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about, I've got a theory about UFOs.
Yes.
And my theory is that actually it's just going to be a construction of the New World Order.
So and that then your theory is that they are of Earth and they are being...
No. I believe that
no?
I believe that there has been aliens that came to Earth, but I think they're not really interested because we're not very interesting. But I think the government's taking some of that technology and they're going to put to their own use to impose a new world order.
Well, they sure aren't doing much of a very good job of it just yet.
Right.
Right. The world is in more disorder than ever. If there's any new world order out there, even at a subterranean level,
right,
politically, then what the hell's going on in India?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is. Right. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. I mean, the whole mess is about to fall apart over there. As someone faxed me, it's just going to be a big pissing contest, a nuclear pissing contest. Pakistan is definitely going to feel that if they've got it, they've got to show it now. China is going to certainly jump back into the fray. Japan and Korea are not going to be happy campers at all. So we should hope the diplomatic movers and shakers can lock this one down quickly or else. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Art Bell, I'm on the internet right now.
Yes.
On your web address.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to a caller just was talking about his theory about the UFOs.
Yeah, that was the last call. Just turn the sound off.
Okay. Can you hear it now?
I don't want to hear it at all. In other words, you're on the air now, so just turn it off and say what you want to say.
Okay. It's not really a theory. I'm sure about this, that they're not extraterrestrial. These UFOs are intraterrestrial. I believe they come from under the ground. I believe that they're demonic in origin. They don't come from outer space, but they would like you to believe that they are from outer space. I believe that that's going to be an explanation of the rapture.
Yeah, why are demons necessarily from under the ground?
Well, they don't have to be from under the ground, but I know that this particular phenomena of UFOs, people complain a lot about them having a smell of sulfur.
Why would UFOs care particularly about our nuclear installations? Why would demons care about them?
I don't know. I don't know that answer. But my second question...
I didn't know that was a question, but go ahead.
Well, my second...
Comment,
yeah, is you had a guy on about 3 or 4 weeks ago that talked about some type of... pictures that he was seeing. If you were looking at a mountain from a different angle, you could see like these...
Oh, we've got them posted on the internet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at your site right now, and I'm trying to find it.
Well, it's no longer in the updates section.
What's the title of it?
It's from Robert Ghostwolf. So if you go to the links, you know, go down to the bottom of the page and jump to the links,
uh-huh.
Just look for a link to Robert Ghostwolf.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. Bill from Youngstown, Ohio.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Two things. I want to relate a very bizarre tape incident, which I thought of when that woman called with the ghost tape. Then I'd like to ask you if you'd be curious to try an experiment since it's open line. About 10 years ago, I got a call from a lady in Pennsylvania. She's about an hour from here, and she was very, very sad. She was losing her house. And I used to be a guest on your affiliate here for several years. So she knew I was psychic, and could I help her? And I said, she couldn't afford to come and have a reading, so I don't know, it just came to me. So I said, play 528 on the daily number in Pennsylvania. Well, wouldn't you know, the next day it came out straight. She hit for $10,000.
Really?
She saved her house and had cushion money. So she called me to give me the good news. And then she said, I must come up and see you for reading. She came up and she brought her son.
Hopefully by now she had enough money to pay for it.
Well, she paid me for the reading, but I didn't want anything. I was just so happy that she got her bail out. But anyway, she wanted to take...
Can you do this on a regular basis?
What? You mean give numbers?
Yeah.
Well, when I was on WKBN, was on a couple times a month, and I used to give numbers, and people used to say it all the time. Sure. Well, what?
Send me a number.
What, for Nevada?
California's got the big one.
Oh, well, these are 3-digit and 4-digit numbers. They're called the daily numbers.
I see.
But anyway, this gets more interesting. She came up after this happened, and she wanted to have a reading with me. And she wanted to tape it. So I said, that was fine. Early in the reading, I said to her, who's Michael? And she said she didn't know of any Michael that was close to her. And so I moved on with the reading.
Yes.
Now, where she lives is an hour from here, down in Monaca, Pennsylvania.
Right.
A couple hours later... She arrived home, she called me back, and her son had sat in to listen to the reading with her permission.
Yes.
She was hysterical. She started to listen to the tape, and at the point, and she played it through the phone for me, where I said, who's Michael? A voice, an unknown voice, it was a male voice, started screaming, stop telling her about Michael, I don't want to hear about Michael. And this went on for about 30 seconds, scared the hell out of me.
Do you have that tape?
No, what happened, talked to a guy in New York who's into the research part of this, and he said to me that a ghost voice on a tape, if it's measured by an oscilloscope, has a different reading than a human voice. So I tried to get back to her, and she never wanted to speak to me after that. I felt
well, that's too bad. The evidence is talks, and I'm afraid oscilloscope traces walk. A But Sandy, who called before the end of the last hour and played that tape, that one gave me serious hackles up and down the spine. Boom. That was really freaky. Now, an oscilloscope can only show you voice patterns. It can show you the frequency response of a voice. And a voice can have a very wide range indeed. And so seeing an unusual trace during some unusual voice wouldn't prove anything, really. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off.
Right.
Good for you. Where are you?
I'm in Port Gamble, Washington.
Okay. Welcome.
Welcome.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Buddy.
Yes, Buddy.
And I'm calling in regards to the 22nd of April.
Yes.
And here where I work, it's very open space here, and we see all kinds of stuff in the sky all the time.
Yes.
And I did see, a green light. Well, Bangor is approximately 3 miles from where I am.
Oh, here we go again.
Yes. And I seen a green light down in that area.
You did?
Yes, I did. It was approximately between 9 and 9:30 in the evening.
Have you reported this to Peter Davenport?
No, I did not. And I also would like to tell you something else.
What?
Several times up here, we have seen lights, big white lights, traveling up and down the sound out here in the vicinity of Bangor about, every other week, approximately between 9 and midnight.
What do you think you're seeing?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hugely bright lights, and one of them came over the site where I work and lit up approximately 27 acres of land.
Holy smokes. Really?
So I thought I'd call and let you know. I was trying to get a hold of you since the 22nd to let you know about it.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, and I'm just notified. We have the website, of course, is horrendously busy tonight, so bear with us, please. But here's what I think we've got. We've got an image of this new comet. It comes from the SOHO satellite. The SOHO satellite is a project of international cooperation between ESA and NASA. It watches the sun, and apparently a SOHO image caught this comet. And yes, we've got it on the website now. Boy, talk about a night when things just happen, one after another, after another, after another. So if you go to the website, you can take a look at this new comet. And we are being told that it may be bright enough toward the end of this month in southern latitudes to be able to be seen during daylight hours. I bet the producers of Deep Impact ordered this one up. Huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Turn your radio off, John.
Yeah, John. Turn it off.
Yeah, 1 second. Turn off.
Hey, hey. It can only hold for another moment.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Where are you?
I'm in St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
I was just calling in with regards to the lady that had the tape recording.
Yeah. Was that weird or what?
I don't know if I'm all, if I buy into it, though. I feel I've got an open mind, Art, but I just don't know if what she had was really foolproof.
Foolproof?
Oh, and the reason I say that...
Well, is anything like this ever going to be foolproof?
I agree 100%, but I guess my only concern is...
All right, I got to leave the line. I'm sorry. When I ask you to turn the radio off, I mean what I say. And when you have a friend who can't resist turning it back on in the background, that's going to get you offline real quick. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Yeah. Who have I got?
Who do you want?
I'm looking for Art Bell.
That's who you found.
Are you Art Bell?
Well, I seem to be.
Oh, okay. Well, the only reason...
I certainly resemble him.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a time delay, obviously.
Obviously.
From the radio. Yes. Okay, anyway, I'm Wolf, and I'm from down out of Spokane.
Your name is Wolf?
Right.
How'd you get that name?
My mother was a strange person. Her name was Zayla.
Zayla?
Yeah.
Zayla named you Wolf.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not real happy about it, but then...
Well, hey.
Hey, anyway, what I'd like to do, can I talk to you about something besides the interplanetary you-know-what?
What, Wolf, anything that's on your fanged... yes, go right ahead.
Hey, I've listened. I've got a litter, too.
I'm sure you've heard it all.
I have. I would like to talk to you, ask you something to ask Robert Ghost Wolf,
yes.
Believe it or not.
What?
I listened to you the other day. I haven't heard you for a long, long time.
Well, I've never heard you.
Well, thank you. I know that. I've been trying to get in, but like everybody else.
Well, anyway, you're here. So what do you want me to ask Robert?
Listen, when he was talking about he'd gone off somewhere and found this bunch of statues and things like this.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah, okay. Somebody mentioned something about birds, and he said he made the mention of thunderbirds.
Yes.
Okay, now, I want to know whether I'm nuts or I actually saw what I think I saw.
In the pictures?
No. No, okay. I know nothing about computers.
All right.
I was watching a Channel 9 PBS in Seattle station, and I got into the middle of the program, so I don't know the name of it or anything.
Yes.
But I think it was probably Strange Natures or something.
Okay.
And it was talking about, when I got into it, I thought they were talking about wolves taking a child. About 10 years old, and I finally found out that this was happened around 78.
In fact, this has happened, yes.
Okay, but this was not wolves. It turned out that these were huge birds. Apparently in 76, I believe they said, in Mexico...
Giant birds swooping down and grabbing babies?
I guess it was 76,
birds bagging little bundles of babies? That's horrible.
No. Now listen. This kid who apparently was 10 years old at the time, and he let out a scream, and his father thought a wolf had grabbed him. And he went running, and this kid was trying to be lifted off the ground by this thing.
A 10-year-old kid.
Well,
that's even worse.
He was a small child.
That's even worse.
And the father managed to get him. Now, that's where I got in, so I'm unclear of that. But
all right, well, listen, we'll throw it out for the audience and see what they have to say. The whole idea, though, of giant birds swooping down and picking up 10-year-olds, we're talking pterodactyls here, something gigantic, prehistoric. Ugh. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, ba-boom. Art Bell, how are you?
Well, reasonably all right. Who's this?
This is the Bronx Brother.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. How have you been?
I have been very well indeed.
Very good. I'm very happy to hear that you're number one in New York.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Yesterday, Kathy from New Jersey, in the first hour of the program, called up and played this really cool promo that WABC is playing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's very enjoyable.
First time I ever...
Turn your radio off, please.
That's right. Yes, I know. I'm going to have that engraved on something and wear it.
Too much.
Anyway, what's up?
Same old, same old. But I haven't spoke with you for quite a while.
It's true.
Yeah, but since I like you so much, I won't tell your listeners what you happen to say about New York people when we used to speak.
I deny it.
You, of course you would.
I deny it.
I won't put you through that.
You've got to admit, though, and even New Yorkers probably have to admit, that New Yorkers are a bit of a different breed.
Yes, this is true. Cosmopolitan to a certain degree.
Cosmopolitan would be a word. Yes. I would say, if you're coming to New York City for the first time from Kansas.
Mm-hmm. You ain't Kansas no more, Toto.
New York is a very unusual place, and you are very unusual people.
Yes, well, you know, it's really changed since Disney took over Times Square. It pushed all the girls uptown a little bit.
Yeah, well, I kind of like the way they did the promo. They said Art Bell couldn't work in New York or something or another.
Oh, yeah. No, you'll go anywhere, man.
Well, I don't know about that, but certainly we are in New York.
Now, I was wondering about the international line.
Oh, what about it?
Well, when are you ever getting calls from, like, Senegal?
Senegal? Well, you know what? It requires that people have the Internet. And I don't know the last time you were in Senegal how easy or hard it was to get to the Internet. I would imagine nearly impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
So generally the calls, the international calls, come from areas where people can at some reasonable cost get the Internet. And in the third world right now, it is either totally unavailable or so expensive that you can't get it.
So do you think if...
Now, maybe we could do this. New Yorkers are so different that maybe we could make them eligible for the international line. Listen, on that note, I've got to go. Thank you very much. Good hearing from you again. And we are happy indeed about, of course, being number one in New York and so many other places. I'm so in love with this song. It goes out to Ramona from me. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM on a very strange, I think, full moon night up there behind the clouds somewhere.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12th, 1998.
You know I need your love. You got that hold over me. Long as I got your love.
It stands beside the river where you were to meet me. On the ground, your glove I found with a note addressed to me. It read, "Dear love, I've done you wrong. Now I must set you free."
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here. Open lines. We're doing whatever you want to do this night. All right, back to open lines. We go west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. Wow, actually got on.
Actually, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have some, you probably want my name. My name's Israel from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Israel, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good name.
Well, I used to not think so. I've gotten used to it by now. let me see. Okay. Remember that woman who called about the ghost?
Yes.
Well, when I was little, I used to play around with tape recorders before, and one of mine broke, and, like, It would play and record really fast.
Right.
And basically, that's what it sounded like to me.
Well, except, yeah, it did to me, too, except that. Here were the little girls playing with this, and the little girls had taped there several times, so...
Yeah, well, I have something here where it's the original thing, but then, and then after that, it sped up.
Well, I've heard tapes go into the stretch mode.
Yeah.
I think we've all played tapes where suddenly they stretch... Right?
Well, no, I mean I have what we heard on the radio.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I have it the original and then sped up.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Might not sound that great.
Well. Sounds terrible.
Actually,
it sounded terrible.
Yeah, I know it sounded terrible.
So it was hard to decipher.
I don't happen to have a direct thing going from my computer to the phone.
Yeah, I understand.
It was on the computer.
Actually, if you want to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
I thought it sounded weird both ways. I appreciate the call, sir, and the people do that. They take grab things off the air and then redo them. But I thought that sounded weird both ways. How about you? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I know what that picture is on your webpage.
Which one are you referring to, sir?
That one you want to know what it was.
Oh, yes. There's two of them, actually. Hello?
What it is a way to create hits on your webpage.
Well, I'm sure it does that. Is that it? Guess that's it, young up. Yeah, it creates hits. We don't need that. We've got a comet tonight. A brand new comet. Want to see it? It's up on the website. That's a way to create hits. We have the rendition supplied tonight by Peter Davenport of what was seen in Washington. That certainly supplies website hits. And we do have these two things that I've been holding for about 2 months now, and they definitely provide website hits. Actually, it took the site down earlier tonight. So, yeah, you're right. It creates website hits. And I get a dollar for each one. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Sue from California.
Hello, Sue.
How are you? It's a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Two things. I was wondering if you could check and see if the folks in Bloomington, Illinois, are okay. I've got a mother back there, and I heard they had tornadoes back there.
Yes. On my show, or did you hear it elsewhere?
On your show, sir. And I was wondering if there's any way that I could get on a cassette tape or whatever the song about the little green aliens that you play every once in a while.
The little green aliens.
You know, about, I don't want to be a doctor. You know, about the outer space, going to lay on the table, going to die of fright.
I think I know what you're talking about. Well, it's on a CD, and it was done especially for me, and I think I know the one that you're talking about.
That one.
Let me see. Hold on here. Hold on a second, all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on.
Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the Grays. The short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I
well,
love that.
You know, I'll see what I can do. It's in other words, it's on a CD.
I can give you my address off the air if you want it or whatever.
Well, here's my problem. If I do that, if I say yes, then I'll get a million gazillion.
Oh, I know it.
So let us not talk of this now.
No.
Send me a letter or something.
Okay.
How's that, all right?
I will do that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. It's the only copy of it that I know of. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you. How you doing? This is Marco calling you from Houston.
Yes, sir. Would you turn your radio off,
Yes, I'm
please?
Doing so now.
That's good. Houston, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I always listen to your show, Art, and it's a very great show. Two comments. One about the haze. It is imminent, and what I've heard is that they're burning land to make way for farm land
in
Mexico.
In Mexico.
That's what I've heard on the news. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, I have heard about these outrageous temperatures of 118 degrees plus.
The first I've heard.
Oh, no, I know that's so. And then I've also heard about this haze, and I hadn't heard that they were burning to clear land for farming, but it could be that. They've done that, of course, down in the rainforests.
Right.
On a continuing basis, so it could be that.
And, that bears to mind global warming and what have you, and, you know, the sun bearing down, we're going to melt.
Oh, please. We're going to melt.
Yeah, 118 degrees? What? 120, 125 is the most a body could withstand.
You can take It's life-threatening, but you can take 118 degrees. Now, what it's doing being that hot down there right now, I don't know.
Okay. My second question to you, going back to space exploration.
Yes.
UFOs and stuff like that.
Yes.
I was in Germany with the U.S. Armed Forces in a place called the Black Forest on tanks.
Right.
And it was so dark, and this was about 12, 30, 1 o'clock in the morning, that you couldn't see in front of your face, your hand. I looked up to the sky, and I see what was not a satellite, not a plane, not a helicopter, but a star that just came straight down, stopped, and went the opposite direction and disappeared.
It was not a star.
I told somebody this, and they looked at me and thought I was crazy.
Yeah, stars, don't do that, sir. What you saw was not a star, I guarantee. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
You're doing great.
How you doing?
Good. Storm Chaser, Northern Alberta.
Yes, sir.
Northern Lights, they were great.
When have you been seeing them?
Oh, last week was incredible.
I knew it.
I have never seen one. We still get enough darkness here.
I knew it. And I'm hoping that the activity resumes, because by Friday I'll be on my way to Ketchikan. And Ketchikan ought to be an ideal place. Headed south toward Vancouver from there should be ideal for observing Northern Lights.
You're going to love it. You really are.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Interesting pics. And I don't think it's no smog from a chimney.
you've seen the pictures that guy just referred to.
I had to race home and check you out on the site because Omaha wasn't coming in too good on AM.
Well, just give it to me. What do you think they are?
Nuclear.
All right. That's what everybody's saying. That's not everybody. There are some people who have said that it's a burned film or something or another. But those who seem to know, I'm sitting here with a gazillion faxes and I could read them from people who know. And I had a feeling when I received these in the first place that that's exactly what they were, was nuclear detonations. But I didn't want to say so until enough people had a chance to take a look. I didn't want to leap to that. I mean, I can't, without identifying the person, say any more about them, at least not right now. But I agree. That's what they are.
I'll go into a little bit more detail for you. Hopefully the sun starburst or the radiation from the sun is still coming through pretty strong. I actually seen aurora 45 degrees to the south and a big starburst above, which is kind of rare. And it had three colors, purple, white, and green to the north.
Right.
Mostly in a big dome. But the one 45 degrees to the south, I guarantee northern Wyoming was getting a view of that one.
Yes, sir. I'm sure they were, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much for the assessment. All right, let me read you a couple of faxes I've got, right? These were photographs that were sent to me 2 months ago, and I think I told you about them when I got them. And I told you at the time that I thought that the photographs had some sort of, possibly had a national security concern about them. And I am not going to tell you who sent them to me, because he was sure he would lose his job for doing so. And so I'm simply not going, you know, based on my promise, I promised I'm not going to say anything about it. At least here on the air. But I held them fully for at least, what would you guys say, 2 months? And people have been bugging me, put them up. So finally I did. I'm sure a few days ago I said I was on the verge of doing it. And, of course, tonight we got the news about the nuclear testing in India. So I think that probably affected my thinking on it. And I called Keith just before airtime, like about 5 minutes, and said, put them up. I said, please don't suggest what the photographs are. Please just put them up and let people take a look. It's either aerial or satellite imagery. Let me read a couple of faxes, all right? Art, I am a nuclear scientist at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation in South Central Washington State. I've been in this field of science for the past 16 years. I have, in capitals, no doubt whatsoever, after viewing these images, that you have photos of a nuclear explosion. In my opinion, it looks like an underground test detonation. I have in my possession satellite photos of what occurred at Chernobyl, and they look very similar. Or this. Please withhold my name. Art, as an individual with a modicum of knowledge in physics, optics, and satellites, I would conclude as follows. One, image one and two appear to indicate a near-ground nuclear burst. Two, both images show signs of the refractive image of the shock wave of the detonation. Three, the resolution is poor. Four, image two has evidence of film damage and or overexposure due to energy flux in initial milliseconds of burst. This would not be evident in a typical chemical explosion. And so forth. Another one. The two satellite photos, Art, appear to be a small, low-yield nuclear explosion set off perhaps above ground, desert terrain. Street layout is not modern, probably over an old area of a Middle Eastern city. Leads to speculation it is over Iraq. Speculation only. Designed to produce an electromagnetic pulse, EMP, to disrupt regional communications and electronics. A Gulf War incident, question mark. I don't have the answer to all of this, but there is some... Here's another one. I'll read you another one. I've just been grabbing them as they've been coming in. Mr. Bell, I'm not involved in satellite photography per se, but my background is in photography, and I've spent some time looking at aerial photographs. For what it's worth, here is my opinion on this and that. That does indeed look like a nuclear test of some kind. Kind of like the old film of the Pacific H-bomb tests. This, on the other hand, looks not to be underground, but rather above ground. Consider the large, white, circular part of the photo to be not a circle, but rather a sphere, with the sun positioned in that sky toward what would be the top of the photograph. If you cast a light on a suspended sphere from such an angle, it would cast a shadow over the same shape as the dark gray area of the photograph. Possible? Question mark. So, there you have it, and many more just like that. Now you see why I held these photos. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is Andy from Laurel, Mississippi.
Hello, Andy.
Art, a question to you and some of your listeners. Has anyone seen any Eastern European vehicles in this country perhaps painted white at this time? Have you heard of this?
Not me.
Okay. There's a small community north of Gulfport, Mississippi called Socher. There's a company there that has these Eastern European vehicles. They used to be green, now they're painted white. They got a big lot of them. And,
what do you think they're doing?
Well, all it needs to be painted on them is two letters.
Oh, what's that, UN?
You got it.
Uh-huh.
And can I give you the name of the company, or is that...
No, don't do that.
Okay.
It's not necessary anyway. So you think they're getting ready. They've got all these vehicles positioned around the country, and at the exact moment of takeover, they're going to slam up the UN symbol, and that'll be it for us.
It could be. I've got an uncle that lives in New Orleans, and they've got a depot of them down there.
And we'll all be slaves to the damn UN, huh?
Could be. Could very well be.
Live free or die, sir.
Yes. But I'll tell you, this India thing, too, is... You know, we've had nukes for a long time, and so has the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And if somebody else wants to experiment with them, I mean, you know, we're a free country. Why can't we be a free world?
Well, I guess we can be, but when it comes to things nuclear, if they experiment with it, which they have already, past tense, and then Pakistan blows one off, and then China blows one off, and then North Korea blows one off, just sort of humor me here and tell me where you think that's going to lead.
Well, don't know, but it, you know, it could be just experimental.
I'd rather have the white trucks. Have a good night, sir.
You too.
See you later. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Kurt from Richland, Washington, home of the atomic bomb.
Yes, sir.
Comment on that lady about the big birds. I've seen that on a show myself.
And you're telling me you saw a story that purported to be true that said a bird big enough to carry a 10-year-old child off.
Yep.
You've got to be kidding.
I figured, well, I'm scratching Mexico off my vacation list.
I hear you. It sounds very pterodactyl-like to me.
I'll say. Yeah, that was really weird.
So you saw this?
Yeah.
Did they happen to show the bird?
No.
No, good.
No, they never did show the bird. They just talked about it. Thought that was pretty wild myself.
We've got birds here in the Pahrump Valley where I live that are big enough to carry a cat off.
Jeez.
And I thought that was bad.
That's a big bird.
But I'm with you. I'm canceling my next vacation.
I had a comment on your last night show.
Yes, oh yes, sir.
And I kind of had the same view as you as far as heaven not being a planet. But I kind of think it's in like a different dimension, but in still in the physical realm to where it's an existing world.
Well, I think that you would be aware of yourself. You would be self-aware, but I don't think that it would be a planet like that person was describing, that heaven would be a planet.
No, I don't think so either.
I know that one of the rags that you see in the grocery store, they had a picture of heaven that they claimed was taken by the Hubble telescope. It was this kingdom-like place that they claim they took a photograph of light years out. Really looked cool.
Oh, I would like to have seen that.
They claim it was heaven floating out there in space.
But you know, in the Bible, Christ came back and he said to his disciples, he says, touch me, look at me, I'm flesh and bone. And then he went off to heaven. And I could view him taking off, you know, as you watch a plane take off. And as you watch it, before you know it, it's out of sight, you can't see it anymore.
Yes.
I kind of vision him. That's what happened when he took off to heaven, and then he went into like a different dimension.
Just sort of till he was a dot and then gone.
Yeah.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. Maybe like that UFO that Peter described, Peter Davenport, that stood in one place, and words of the witness grew a tail, and then like that. Now, that reminds me of Star Trek All the Way. You know, when they go into a warp drive, they sit there for a second and then... And that's exactly what that witness described. All right, we'll be back shortly. Bottom of the hour, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998.
I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside. Frightened of this thing that I've become.
Thank you.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 12, 1998.
Good morning. I thought those lyrics would work particularly well this morning. Give you some idea of how seriously all of this is viewed. Here's an article entitled U.S. Intelligence Under Fire in Wake of India's Nuclear Tests. Washington. The U.S.'s inability to foresee or forestall India's nuclear test, despite ample warnings, was a failure of both the CIA and U.S. foreign policymakers. After the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee called it, quote, the intelligence failure of the decade, end quote, CIA Director George Tenet asked retired Admiral David Jeremiah, a former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to lead a 10-day investigation into the intelligence community's failure to detect preparations at the site in the Indian desert. The site has been under periodic surveillance by photo reconnaissance and electronic eavesdropping satellites, which recorded increasing activity. But the images and activities they recorded in recent days were not interpreted clearly or quickly by the CIA. That oversight constituted, quote, a colossal failure on the part of our intelligence agencies, end quote. That's Chairman Richard Selby, Republican from Alabama. He said something went wrong, somebody failed to do their job. To let this slip up on our policymakers, the President, the Secretary of State, without a chance to intervene in some way diplomatically with India, was a huge intelligence failure. If we had an inkling that they were going to detonate one or more nuclear weapons, perhaps we could have intervened. We certainly would have tried. They didn't just fool the CIA, they fooled the entire U.S. government. And I'm first to admit they fooled me too, said a senior administration official. We were all just lulled into thinking they wouldn't do anything regarding nuclear weapons. They let us believe they were not going to do anything precipitous. We made the mistake of assuming they would act rationally. Others said warning signs were everywhere to be read by diplomats as well as spies. The announced intentions of the new Hindu nationalist government to make nuclear weapons part of its arsenal, the published pronouncements of India's Atomic Weapons Commissioner, who said 2 months ago that he was ready to test if political leaders gave the go-ahead, and then, of course, recent missile tests by Pakistan, all but dared New Delhi to respond. Obviously, they have. So that gives you some idea of how seriously, very seriously, this is being viewed right now, and I thought I would read that to you. I want to warn you of something coming up next week. It's like one thing after another. Dr. Roger Lear, who's kind of a partner of Daryl Sims, called me. And he said, Art, I have a general class officer who is ready to reveal some very, very startling information. And I actually have that information here. I don't yet want to read that because I don't want to in any way allow anybody to get to this general class officer before he does the show. It's coming up Tuesday. I'll read you what Dr. Lear sent to me. Art, two guests, myself, Dr. Roger Lear, and General A. You may refer to him in that manner. The general has consented to come on the air for two reasons. The first is a personal favor to me, to Dr. Lear, in other words. And the other has to do with the credibility of your radio program. He is very familiar with it. I've known this gentleman for over 30 years. Remember, this is Dr. Lear speaking. And his character is impeccable. He is an officer in the Air Force Reserve and just recently attained the rank of general. He has a long history of government involvement, and this extended directly to the White House. He had personal close involvement with President Johnson and other presidents that followed. He currently is communicative with the administration now in the White House. The only way he would agree to make public statements is to have his voice disguised. Even with this,
As a small cover of safety, he still has fears of possible retribution. When questioned, he will give straightforward answers to the extent of what he feels he can relay publicly. If he can't answer, he will tell you. Now, there's a little Tuesday teaser. It's coming up Tuesday. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right. It's kind of a weird night.
It is. My name's Paul.
Yes, Paul.
I sent you a fax a little while ago.
Paul, if you could see my room right now, it looks like a small mountain of faxes.
Okay, well, I'm the scientist from Hanford.
Oh, Paul, that Paul.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the program, Paul. Let me see if I can find your fax. I just read it on the air not long ago. It's in here someplace. At any rate, you have been working in the nuclear industry, you said, I think, for 16 years?
Right. Correct.
Okay. What can you tell me about what you're seeing in these photographs, Paul?
Well, I got on the site, I downloaded them, they're on my machine. The first one came out, the second one didn't. I haven't been able to get back on.
Okay, yeah, it's real busy up there.
I have photos of nuclear blasts, and I've only seen three types of photos that have such a bright white or bright light, if you will, center, such as that, and all of them have been nuclear. Mm-hmm. And if you were, let's call the top of the picture north.
All right.
If you were to go north to where you were just over the center of the blast, it would be a perfect circle, pretty much as it is there. And then the shadow line around would also be a perfect circle, which would indicate a mushroom cloud, if you will, or a mushroom blast.
So you're pretty certain of what you're looking at then?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, like I said in the facts, I've got some photos of Chernobyl when some satellite images of that when it went, and they are very, very similar.
Well, all I can say is this. I received these photographs 2 months ago from a source outside the U.S., way outside.
Right.
And it was claimed that this detonation was in a place where, you know, I'm not an expert in this sort of thing, and I didn't know what, it sort of looked nuclear to me, too, but who am I? And the source indicated that, in fact, that's what it was, and it was in a place where, if it's true, we should all be really worried. And that's, I guess, all I can say, and should say, and will say. I don't want this person to lose their job, but on the other hand, if it is what you're saying it is, then it's got national security implications. And what the hell am I supposed to do with it? Just sit on the photographs and not put them up there? So I decided to put them up there and just ask the simple question, what is this? What is that?
Right. Well, I like I said, I have no doubt whatsoever. The area... I'm not positive, but it's kind of far fetched, but I've got a lot of photos, and I think I'm gonna print this out and do some comparison.
All right, anything you can come up with, I would very much appreciate. All right.
Okay, I do have your address.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Art.
Take care. I mean, what would you do with something like this? The person sent it to me 2 months ago, and they said, Art, please don't release this. I'll get fired. And he said more and a lot more, and I can't give that on the air. And I looked at them, and I thought, good God, these look like nuclear detonations to me. Or two separate photographs, photographs of the same incident. And if that's really what it is, then this is a very, really serious thing. Because that means there is a nuclear presence where there definitely ought not be. And it means we knew about it. And we know about it. And so what are you going to do with photographs like this? The only safe thing I figured to do eventually was to post them. I gave notice on the air several times to this person outside the country that I was going to do it. Not hearing from him, I have now done it. You be the judge of what it is. And I'm sure the news of the day about India worked on my little brain before airtime to call up Keith and say, okay, Keith, that's it. Keith has had the photographs all this time. And I finally called Keith and I said, do it, post them. Go ahead and post them. So that's as much of the story as I can tell. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I have two things to tell you. One, we had a mutilation of a cow in northern New Mexico.
Oh, I've been hearing that New Mexico has been like a hotspot for that recently.
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of gross. But you want to hear something else about a cow? Because last month you had somebody talking about, like, different things animals do.
Oh, right.
Okay, I was on a ranch, and this farmer, he was blind.
Yes.
You know, he went blind.
Yes.
And this cow, all by herself, used to just come up and pick him up at the gate, and he used to put his arms around her, and she'd lead him to the barn, and, if, you know, she'd sort of hang around where he was at.
Yeah.
And she'd help go get the other cows up and everything else. Nobody taught this cow how to do that. It just did it by itself.
I love hamburgers.
I thought you might. Like, I tried calling when she was on, but I couldn't get through. And
Hamburger's almost been my favorite food for most of my adult life.
But I loved going over there and help with the fences because I loved just watching her. I mean, it was so cool.
Is it enough to make you stop eating burgers and steaks and stuff?
Oh, I don't eat much meat anyway.
You don't?
I eat mostly fish and junk.
Fish and junk food?
Well, not junk food. Just,
all right. Well, thanks for the guilt.
Yeah.
I'll see you later. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
I listen to your show a lot. And sometimes I disagree with it, but I always like to listen to your show.
Well, I feel the same way about it. I listen a lot, and sometimes I disagree, too.
Something's really bothering me.
What?
I normally try to get through once or twice. I've been trying all night tonight.
Okay.
This is on the scale of the quickening that you wrote about.
Yes, sir.
And at the risk of sounding like a wild card caller, I'm going to say this. This is the truth, and I'm telling you my perspective as I've heard the news over the last 3 or 4 days from where I'm at in East Texas.
Sonite.
Okay. 4 days ago, Mexico had to close its schools in its major cities because temperatures there in the morning reached 118
degrees. Yep, I can verify what you're saying. In fact, several were killed by it. Let me tell you something. Before you go on, we got plenty of time. Don't worry. Do you know that here in the desert where I am right now, I live near Death Valley, and that is one of the hottest spots in our nation, right?
Right.
This is now the month of May. Do you know that the temperature here now is in the 40s? That it's in the 40s, sir? And during the day, not going better than the 50s, and it's raining, and it's been this way all year so far. I'm telling you, something is really, really, really wrong. And then we hear that in Mexico, it's going to 118 degrees. That the air pollution is so bad that they're closing schools and industry.
Mr. Bell, I am in agreement with everything you just said, and I'm really shook up. Tonight, 55 counties along the Gulf of the American Gulf of Mexico are in a health warning standard right now. The whole thing is because of an air pollution index. And it's just come about tonight. There are more than 2,000 miles of Mexico on fire, and the country of Guatemala is on fire. And what comes to my mind is that this is solar related. This doesn't have anything to do with people out there lighting fires or lightning. This is solar related. Right now as we speak, I just got the news on WOAI out of San Antonio.
Yes, sir.
There are thousands of miles near the border, too, of Texas border that are on fire.
Are you sure of what you're saying? Are you sure of it?
I'm shook up, and I'm sure of what I'm saying, and at the risk of sounding like a wild card caller, I know that you're going to find this out in the media. I know this is going to come out tomorrow. I know it will. I don't know if they're going to say it's solar related.
All right, you heard a WOAI report on the...
On the fire.
On the fires, huh?
What they said was... Mexico and Guatemala are on fire, and that the health warnings are from Texas to Florida because of the smoke coming across the Gulf. That's exactly what I heard.
Intermittent reports. I guess I'll add to the fire here. I've been getting intermittent reports all day long, which I've been waiting to verify, that people in Texas, where you are having trouble with haze because of all the fires.
Fact, tonight it was clear, and I was looking at the full moon while you were talking about the rain. And right now, it's covered with smoke, and it's not clouds. You can see through the clouds. They're big billows coming over, and you can see the moon through them, and it's a brown haze. So, you know, I was shook up when I started to hear this. At first, I thought, well, there's another fire. And then I thought, somebody has to tell Art Bell about this. Somebody.
No, these are fires that are crossing continents, folks. So, again, Guatemala, I mean, to say a country is on fire. They
said that there's extremely large areas of Guatemala that are on fire and extremely... Somebody said 2,000 miles. I heard it on the news.
All right. I appreciate the report.
Okie doke.
Thank you. And I cannot verify all of what he said, but I can verify parts of what he said. Indeed, there has been unattributable haze in Texas from something. I've been getting a lot of reports. I did note the reports of 118-degree temperatures in Mexico, the closing of schools and industry because of pollution that threatened lives south of it. So I don't discount what that man just said at all, but obviously something that serious requires verification. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yo.
Yo.
The quickening dude.
Yeah, quickening dude right here.
It's Dr. Strange Groove from the... WABC listening area.
77 WABC.
Yo.
Yes.
You gave the sign, I think, for the end of time tonight. Can you name what it is?
No.
It's the comet you just mentioned. I've been sitting here waiting for this comet for a year straight.
Well, how do you know this is the one, though?
Because I know the same things Malachi Martin and Ted Flynn know.
Well, Malachi did call for a sign in the skies, and by God, here comes
here
one around the sun.
I'll give it to you in a nutshell.
She'll be coming
the
around.
The weather, everything you see, everything you say, quickening, this, that.
Yep.
It's all leading to the Malachi Martin, Ted Flynn scenario. Now, it starts with the warning. That is the first event. That is the beginning of the end of time. The warning.
The beginning of the end of time.
That's right.
Yikes.
They ain't no joke.
I'm not laughing.
I'm not on the air now, so I just kept calling you to ask about this comet. Now, you quoted the exact words of the prophecy. It will be seen going past the sun. That's what you announced tonight when I heard that.
Well, that's right. That's exactly, as a matter of fact, the way it's being said. It's
all of Catholic prophecy is one thing and one thing alone. These apparitions of the Virgin Mary. Okay?
Yeah.
First comes the warning. The comet will start coming, you said, by the end of the month. Now, the warning comes.
So you think this is near the end now?
This is it. Art, I've been living this for 10 years. You get it? I've been living this for 10
well,
years. I'm
you.
A long-haired hippie rock musician.
But, I mean, how can you absolutely know this is it?
Because I got 100 prophecies stacked in my ceiling in my room telling me the warning. You get it?
You do?
Yes.
That I must be kind of
stuff.
Messy.
I sent you some stuff. Strange Groove. But here it is. The warning. The comet will come past the sun. Part will break off. Part will go in towards the sun. Another part will hit the moon, and another part will scrape our atmosphere, causing the illumination, the warning. Every man on earth sees God.
So in other words,
questions.
In other words, Gabe is about to blow his horn.
That's it. You quoted it all day. I looked out tonight, Art, and I saw the moon covered in haze. I live in New Jersey, you understand? I came in the house and I said, check this moon out. This ain't normal. Okay, you've heard of Fatima. What happened before Fatima? It rained and it rained and it rained. 13 days
all right,
of rain.
Listen to me now for a second. My program's over. So tell everybody good night.
Good night, everybody.
And add this. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Good night, everybody.